You have a headache? I can tell. Sorry, that sucks. We're almost done with our busy November, December. You all have been good sports.
Story about you on OPB.
Oh, did you? How was it? I got to listen to it. Oh, good. I heard the tease was
Bill Wyatt,
Bill what?
Sandy,
What?
Joanne Hart.
Was nice.
Forgot about what?
Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll get the part going. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the chambers of the Portland City Council. Today is Wednesday, December 19th, 2012. It's 9:30 a.m., and the City Council will come to order. Happy holidays. Good morning. How are you, Carla?
Good morning. I'm well, thank you.
There was a chance of snow today, but it didn't materialize.
No.
I, for one, am happy.
Me too.
Okay. Can you please call the roll?
Leonard? Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Adams.
Here. Before we go into communications, I'd ask you all to join me in a moment of silence. We've suffered, this nation and this region have suffered some terrible, terrible tragedies as a result of gun violence. And so I'd ask you to use these moments of silence as contemplation for those Americans and who we've lost and those that survive and fight for life and all of their loved ones, and also the first responders. Thank you. We'll begin with communications. Can you please read the title for item number 1469?
Request of Francis Quamps Miller to address council regarding decision to fluoridate Portland's drinking water.
Hi, welcome. I think welcome back, right? So you know all the protocols and everything.
And I promise this time to keep it just to my allotted time.
Great.
Good morning. Once again, my name is Francis Quamps Miller. And I want to begin by giving you a brief story. I grew up in Minneapolis, Minnesota, a city that has a number of similarities to Portland. Like Portland, it's fairly liberal, fairly white, and full of very engaged citizens. One distinct difference, however, is that Minneapolis artificially fluoridates city water. Growing up there, I never questioned the practice. I was told by my mother and occasionally others that water fluoridation was good for teeth because it reduced cavities. Despite whatever merits such a practice may or may not have, I still had 8 cavities by the time I was 18 years old. The truth is, I was a kid that loved sugary snacks. If the rhetoric that is conveyed by groups like Upstream is true, then I experienced a 25% reduction of tooth decay thanks to water fluoridation, meaning instead of 10 cavities, I had 8. Fast forward to a year and a half ago. By this time, I had been exposed to chemically fluoridated water from my hometown, chemical fluoride in medications I took for chronic conditions, as well as a concentrated fluoride paste for weak enamel in my back teeth. After my third diagnosis of an autoimmune disease, and by the way, I have 5 altogether, which left me semi-disabled, my spouse began to do a great deal of medical research. She eventually asked me to stop using all forms of sodium fluoride. I explained to her that I grew up with fluoridated water, so it must be good. Yet she convinced me, as only a good woman can do, to consider taking a break. The day before Mayor Adams announced his support for water fluoridation, I visited the dentist, for whom I didn't tell at first that I had stopped using that concentrated paste for a weak enamel condition for the last 5 months. As the appointment came to a close, I asked about my enamel issue. My dentist very nonchalantly said that my teeth looked just fine. I inquired further, as I was used to being given a lecture about using the paste for the prior 2 years I had used it. She told me my teeth looked great and to keep doing whatever I was doing. I convey this anecdotal yet important story because I learned from this experience that not everyone is impacted by the so-called benefits of phosphate waste or chemical fluorides in the same way. I will contend that some people may experience benefit from fluoridation in its many forms, but it is certainly clear to me that not everyone does. This is important to explore because as we discuss the issue of equity among Portland's marginalized and most vulnerable populations, we must consider benefits as well as neutral and even negative consequences that come from adding fluoride to our pristine waters. As you surely know, phosphate mining added to public water is regulated by
Your time's up. Your 3 minutes are up.
Okay.
Last thoughts?
I just want to say that, as you know, the phosphate mining additives that you would be putting in the water is regulated by the National Sanitation Foundation. As you know, that's a private agency. And in essence,
so
what you're doing, let me finish.
I didn't mean you could go on for minutes. Your time is up. Thank you.
Can I say one last sentence?
No, I gave you the opportunity to say one last sentence, and you went on for sentences. So thank you for your testimony. Can you please read the title, item number 1470?
Request of Kimberly Kaminsky to address council regarding process of Portland's proposed water fluoridation.
Welcome back.
Good morning. My name is Kimberly Kaminsky, and I am the director of Clean Water Portland, and I'm the executive director of Oregon Citizens for Safe Drinking Water. I got involved in the fluoridation issue because I was concerned about the health and safety for my children. I appreciate having the opportunity to talk with you today. I am here to urge City Council to vote no tomorrow on moving the referendum on the fluoride issue from May of 2014 to May of 2013, a year earlier than it was originally scheduled. The City Council voted in September to add hydrofluosilicic acid to our water with very little notice to the public and very little opportunity to be heard. The other side was given lots of time to testify. We were given 3 minutes. Many people still don't even know that the City Council decided to fluoridate our water. Conversely, fluoridation proponents had at least a year to lobby City Hall and push this through the back door by a well-financed campaign. The process so far reeks of corruption on the part of the City Council. It is our hope as citizens that you will demonstrate impartiality, patience, and care that ought to accompany all decisions affecting such a large population such as ours, and that is expected of public servants. Waiting for a May 2014 vote is the ethical responsibility of the City Council. Gathering input from those who oppose fluoridation and allowing us the time to organize our campaign is also the ethical responsibility of the City Council. To do otherwise violates the public trust. When 3 out of 5 of you, Sam, Randy, and Nick, all announced publicly that you would support adding fluoride chemicals to our water, members of Clean Water Portland and Oregon Citizens filed an initiative which will take place in May of 2014. You're pushing this to take place prior to the opportunity for the citizens to vote on the initiative. We gathered nearly 44,000 signatures, way over twice the amount needed to qualify the referendum for the ballot. This speaks volumes to the concern and passion that Portland has for our water, and not just our drinking water, it's all of our water. The truth is, we are very fortunate to have some of the best water in the United States. There's a reason that fluoride has been voted out 3 times. This doesn't affect our water. This affects the water of all of the many water districts that are under contract with the city that purchase water from the city of Portland. Citizens of these communities have no vote and no voice. The city of Portland did nothing to contact these communities before this decision was ramrodded through, notwithstanding the right to due process, the right to notice, and the opportunity to be heard. This is a basic constitutional right. We are calling for an independent scientific review. This is a decision that must be made very carefully, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Can you please read the title for item number 1471?
Request of Scott Fernandez to address council regarding review Portland drinking water fluoridation chemistry.
Welcome back, Mr. Fernandez.
Thank you.
My name is Scott Fernandez. As adults, we are expected to protect the children of our community and their environment while keeping them safe and healthy. My graduate work in drinking water chemistry and microbiology increased my awareness of the negative impact that unrestricted chemicals can have on the environment and public health. Drinking water fluoridated by public utilities is knowingly comprised of toxic and carcinogenic chemicals, chemicals where there is no safe level of consumption by children. Drinking water fluoridation chemicals originate from industries all over the world, and these are not pharmaceutical-grade chemicals. The aluminum industry, as represented by Alcoa Corporation, supply these chemicals. Fertilizer industry, as represented by Cargill Corporation, and the nuclear industry, as represented by Pelindaba Chemical and Nuclear Corporation. Toxic and carcinogenic chemicals unsafe for children are listed in all types of public utility fluoridation compound summaries. And you have just been handed one from the Tualatin Valley Water District. And if you look on line 8, you'll see that there is arsenic and lead included in their summary. Arsenic, which can cause cancer. Mercury, which causes neurological problems. Lead, which causes neurological problems. Chromium, which causes cancer. And many, many other toxic chemicals. Fluoridated drinking water clearly has a negative impact on public health and the environment. One example, the Portland Park Bureau has generated community gardens intended for fresh produce for children that can be a source of toxic chemical accumulation. Plants used for food take in fluoride, lead, arsenic, etc. from the irrigation water, providing added toxic chemical exposure from vegetable consumption. Another example of negative public health and environmental impact is that 99% of our drinking water will be discharged through the sewage treatment plant, sending 3,000 pounds of toxic fluoridation chemicals daily into the Columbia River, negatively impacting salmon and other fish. In this instance, fluoride replaces critically necessary metabolic chloride ion, which interferes with the muscular and nervous systems of fish, leading to their death. And finally, I'd like to ask you to convene an independent scientific panel to review data in a public process before you make any more decisions and establish May 14th or May of 2014 as the fluoride vote date. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your testimony. Can you please read the title for item number 1472?
Request of Bill Osmondson to address council regarding update on excess fluoride exposure.
Welcome back.
Thank you very much. I'm Bill Osmondson, a general dentist of 35 years with a master's in public health and president of the Washington Action for Safe Water. For the first 25 years of practice, I promoted water fluoridation avidly. And as a University of Washington School of Public Health professor said to me, then you looked at the science for yourself. And it was like a knee in the gut. Indeed, fluoridation is not effective, not safe, and many are ingesting too much fluoride even without fluoridation. One day, fluoridation will be considered the greatest public health blunder of the 20th century. My request is for you to win the battle of fluoridation in the hearts and minds of stakeholders by building consensus. For the safety of the public, the city should not fear, rush, or evade an independent review of science and law. The hardest part of the fluoridation controversy for me to accept was the lack of benefit. I was confident I could see the benefit of fluoride in my patients, but I was mistaken. The EPA scientists, for example, through their union, report fluoridation is no longer effective. I said, my goodness, how can they say that? For 60 years of fluoridation, the FDA, Center for Drug Evaluation and Research, has repeatedly denied approval of ingested fluoride because they concluded the science did not demonstrate efficacy. It doesn't work. Most European dental associations no longer support the ingestion of fluoride, even with patient consent. British Columbia is about 99% fluoridation-free and has the lowest dental caries of all Canadian provinces. When East and West Germany unified, one of the first steps by the West Germans was to turn off the fluoridation pumps in East Germany. Dental caries have since decreased. Comparing developed countries, or comparing U.S. states, or comparing counties within states does not find a benefit from fluoride ingestion, either water, salt, or supplements. I currently practice in never-fluoridated Lake Oswego and fluoridated Beaverton with Portland patients frequently. We have more dental caries in fluoridated Beaverton. Journal of Public Health published reporting higher dental expenses for children in fluoridated Clark County than in not fluoridated Portland. I diagnose and document dental fluorosis, a biomarker of excess fluoride ingestion, a sign of toxic overdose of fluoride, in about 1 in 3 of my patients. What evidence does the city have that these patients require even more fluoride? They already show signs of toxic overdose. Why do you want to give them more? The city makes no sense. Fundamental logic must answer questions such as, what is the optimal tooth fluoride concentration? Not water fluoride. We're not treating water. We're treating teeth. How much fluoride do you want in the teeth? No one's told you that. But you need to find that out. How much fluoride do you want there? How much do we want in the serum? How much do we want in your urine? We need to know those. There are many sources of fluoride. Just swallow some toothpaste. Thank you.
Appreciate your testimony. All right. That gets us to...
We have one more.
Yes. 1473.
Yes. Request of J. Harris Levy, DDS, to address council regarding water fluoridation.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you. My name is Dr. J. Levy. I've been practicing dentistry for 30 years and I've taught at NYU and OHSU dental schools. I trained as a postdoctoral fellow in neurophysiology and performed neurophysiologic research at OHSU. I've worked in public health dental clinics and treated children and adults with rampant tooth decay. Believe me, if fluoridation would actually improve public health, I'd be the first to stand behind it. I will address three key questions today. Is fluoridation effective? Conceived as a 10-year study to compare tooth decay rates in fluoridated and non-fluoridated cities, the Grand Rapids Muskegon trial is frequently cited by fluoridation promoters. However, the study was severely compromised when non-fluoridated Muskegon started fluoridating their water 5 years into the trial. This poorly designed study made no attempt to control for differences in socioeconomics. In fact, no statistical analysis was used at all. Declines in tooth decay in both cities mirrored national and international declines unrelated to fluoridation. I refer you to the paper, The Mystery of Declining Tooth Decay Rates, in the respected scientific journal Nature. In over 50 years of monitoring, the Newburgh-Kingston trial has failed to show an overall significant difference in tooth decay rates between these fluoridated and non-fluoridated cities. Unfortunately, fluoridated Newburgh has a significantly higher rate of dental fluorosis. Dental fluorosis is the visible manifestation of toxic overexposure to fluoride during developmental years. Severity ranges from specks to pitted dark brown stains in tooth enamel. Fluoridic enamel is brittle and prone to decay. Fluorosis rates in U.S. teens have reached the astounding all-time high of 41%, indicating that they are already ingesting high levels of fluoride from foods, bottled beverages, and toothpaste. Commissioned by the British Health Department, the York Systematic Review of Fluoride Literature was charged to carry out an up-to-date expert scientific review of fluoride in health. It concluded, given the level of interest surrounding the issue of public water fluoridation, it is surprising to find that little high-quality research has been undertaken. The failure of these studies to deal with potential confounding factors or to provide standard error data means that the ability to answer the objective is limited. What is the quality of fluoride used in fluoridation? 10% is medical grade, 90% is toxic waste from the phosphate fertilizer industry containing hexafluorosilicic acid, arsenic, lead, and cadmium. According to EPA scientist William Hersey, if the stuff gets out in the air, it's a pollutant. If it gets into the river, it's a pollutant. If it gets into the lake, it's a pollutant. But if it goes right into your drinking water system, it's not a pollutant. Is fluoridation safe? Well, 7,000 EPA scientists and professional workers do not think so and call for a moratorium on all drinking water fluoridation programs. They've asked EPA management to recognize fluoride as posing a serious risk of causing cancer, neurotoxicity, and reduced IQ. Dr. Arvid Carlson, who won the Nobel Prize for Medicine and Physiology, noted that fluoridation is against all modern principles of pharmacology. It's obsolete. I don't think anybody in Sweden, not a single dentist, would bring up this question anymore. Thank you for your consideration.
Thanks for your testimony. All right, that gets us to the consent agenda. Anyone have any items to address on the consent agenda? All right, Carla, can you please call the vote on the consent agenda?
Mm-hmm. Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. We'll take a 5-minute break to switch out presentations here.